नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये वेदे रामायणे चैव पुराणे भारते तथा अधेयन्ते च मध्ये च हरिः सर्वत्र गीयते मुखं करोति वाचालां पङ्गुलिङ्गयते गिरं यत्कृपातहं बन्धु श्रीगुरुं दीनातारिणे नष्टप्रेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. This is in glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyam vai shuyamanayam Krishna param purashe bhakti utpadiya pumsa shoka moha bhaya paha. First, I would like to offer my humble obeisances to all the senior Vaishnavas, Prabhupada disciples, and all the assembled Vaishnavas here. Please bless me so that we can
speak into the microphone
closely, so that we can glorify the Lord together. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, verse number 9 and 10. So 10 has purport, so we recite verse number 10 together, and I'm going to recite verse number 9 first. Gopayas chakranya mudita Yashodaya sutodabhavam Atmanam bhushayan chakru Vastrika kalpapanja adhadibhi. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The gopis, wives of the cowherd men, were very pleased to hear that Mother Yashoda had given birth to a son, and they began to decorate themselves very nicely with proper dresses, ornaments, black ointment for the eyes, and so on. Now we recite the next verse together, that is verse number 10. Nava kumkuma kinjalka mukha pankaja bhutaya bali bhistwari tam jagmuhu prahu shonayas chalat kucha. Word to word translation. Nava kumkuma kinjalka. With saffron and newly grown kumkuma flower. Mukha pankaja bhutayaha. Exhibiting an extraordinary beauty in their lotus-like faces. Balibihi, with presentations in their hands. Tuaritam, very quickly. Jagmuhu, went to the house of Mother Yashoda. Pritru Shonayaha. Bearing full hips. Fulfilling womanly beauty. Chalat Kuchaha. Their developed breasts were moving. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Their lotus-like faces, extraordinarily beautiful, being decorated with saffron and newly grown kumkuma, the wives of the cowherd men hurried to the house of Mother Yashoda with presentations in their hands. Because of natural beauty, the wives had full hips and full breast, which moved as they hurried along. Purport by Jivangi Srupapath. The cowherd men and women in the villages lived a very natural life, and the women developed a natural feminine beauty with full hips and breast, because women in modern civilization do not live naturally. Their hips and breasts do not develop this natural fullness. Because of artificial living, women have lost their natural beauty. Although they claim to be independent and advanced in material civilization, this decoration of the village women gives a clear example of the contrast between natural life and the artificial life of a condemned society such as that of the Western countries, where topless, bottomless beauty may be easily purchased in clubs and shops and for public advertisements. The word Balibihi indicates that the women were carrying gold coins, jewel necklaces, nice clothes, newly grown grass, sandalwood pulp, flower garlands, and the similar offerings on the plates made of gold. Such offerings are called Bali. The word Twaritam Jagmuhu indicates how happy the village women were to understand that Mother Yashoda had given birth to a wonderful child known as Krishna. Om Jnanam Timarandhasya Gananjaya Shalakaya Chakshuru Nimilitam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamrupam Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutpad Kamalam Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivan Savadhitam Savadhutam Parjina Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Vishakavitam Cha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namastute Tapt Kanchan Gorangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchikalpatru Bhyacha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavicha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishna Bhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in these two verses, Srila Prabhupada is describing the opulences of Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men in Gokul, and the festivity in the house of Nanda Maharaj on the occasion of appearance of Lord Shri Krishna. So in the first verse that we recited, that is verse number 9, Srila Prabhupada is making a very important point in the translation. And what is that? That is, the wives of cowherd men were very pleased to hear that Mother Yashoda had given birth to a son, and they began to decorate themselves very nicely with proper dresses. Now, this is a deeper meaning, and the deeper meaning is non-envious nature of a devotee. So all the gopis, they were very pleased, they were very happy for Mother Yashoda, and they were decorating themselves to participate in the festivity of Nandotsav. That should be the mood of a devotee, non-envious nature. It is not that if some devotee is getting mercy of Guru and Gauranga, we should start envying him. That is not Krishna consciousness. So a genuine real devotee, he will always be happy to see other devotees advancing in Krishna consciousness. He will always be happy to see when he sees other devotees are receiving kripa, mercy of Guru and Gauranga. He will not be envious. And that was the mood of Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu's devotees. This reminds me of an episode in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavata as well. When Mahaprabhu performed his first Sankirtan, public Sankirtan, after the Sankirtan, he came to the house of Sridhar Kolevicha along with his other associates, Advaita Acharya, others, Nityananda Prabhu, all others. And he came to the house of Sridhar Kolevicha and told him, "Sridhar, I know you are hiding a treasure in your house, and I will expose that treasure to all of my associates and everybody." Sridhar Kolevicha was surprised. "Treasure in my house?" Mahaprabhu, immediately he started to drink water from one of the pot lying in the humble hut of Sridhar Kolevicha. Sridhar Kolevicha stopped. "Mahaprabhu, don't do this. I use this water for my day-to-day use. What are you doing?" Mahaprabhu drank the water, bathed himself into that water and said, "Hari Hari, Hari Hari." He was in complete ecstasy of love of Krishna. That is the treasure that Mahaprabhu was referring to. And then all the other associates of Mahaprabhu, they were so happy to see Sridhar Kolevicha receiving the kripa, mercy of Mahaprabhu. That is the mood of a genuine devotee. So this is the point mentioned in today's translation in verse number 9. That is non-envious nature of a devotee. Then in the next purport, that is verse number 10, Srila Prabhupada is making a very important strong statement. That is, the difference between artificial beauty and real beauty, and the difference between simple way of life or natural way of life and artificial way of life. These are two points Prabhupada is discussing in today's purport, verse number 10. So let's begin with the first one, beauty. In Srila Prabhupada's words, "As long as the grass is connected to the ground, it is green and beautiful." Similarly, as long as a devotee or a jiva is connected to Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he is beautiful. Why? Because he is connected with the source of all the beauty. So real beauty lies in devotion onto the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. That is real beauty. And this beauty is ever fresh, ever increasing, eternal, sustainable. When you talk about our external beauty, every moment the body is dying, we are getting old and will die eventually, correct? That is external beauty, correct? Is it sustainable? No, it's not sustainable. But if you have a beauty which is driven by the qualities जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर कृष्ण बलराम गौर निताय की जय. सो इफ यू हैव अ ब्यूटी विच इज ड्रिवन बाय द इंटरनल क्वालिटीज दैट इज सस्टेनेबल एंड दिस ब्यूटी इज बेस्ड ऑन ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज एंड दैट ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज इज बेस्ड ऑन प्योर डिवोशन. This is real genuine beauty. So real genuine beauty lies in devotion onto the lotus feet of Krishna, Guru and Krishna. And this devotion for a devotee is always fresh, always increasing, ever fresh. So as mentioned, this is Mahaprabhu's opinion mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Maharaj. आराध्य भगवान वदेश तनयम तद्धाम वृंदावनम रम्या काश्चिदुपासना व्रजवधु वर्गेरे विना कल्पते श्रीमान भागवतम प्रमाणम ममलम प्रेमा पुमर्ता महान श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य महाप्रभु मतमिदं तत्रा दराना प्राण. दिस इज महाप्रभुज ओपिनियन. दैट इज द मोस्ट वर्शिपेबल डीटी इन दिस क्रिएशन इज लॉर्ड श्री कृष्णा एंड द टॉप मोस्ट धाम इन दिस क्रिएशन इज श्री वृंदावन धाम एंड द टॉप मोस्ट डिवोटी आर द गोपीज ऑफ ब्रज. व्हाई दे आर टॉप मोस्ट ब्यूटी डिवोटीज? Because of their devotion onto the lotus feet of Krishna. And because of their devotion onto the lotus feet of Krishna, they are most beautiful ladies in this creation. That is real beauty. So as long as a jiva is constitutionally correctly situated, he's beautiful. He's beautiful because jiva is prakriti. Krishna is the only purusha, only enjoyer. We are all prakriti, whether in female body or male body. It doesn't matter. Correct? So, as long as we are constitutionally correctly situated, we are all beautiful. And if we are constitutionally not correctly situated, we are not beautiful. Because we are disconnected from the source of beauty, which is Krishna. So, as you mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj.
Naham vipro cha na cha narapati na api vaishayo na e shudro na cha varni na grapati na cha vanistho vanirva krintu prodayannikhila parmananda punamrita gopi bharatu pad kamlo dasanu dasa गोपी भारतु पद कमलोर दासनु दासा. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
You become beautiful, most beautiful, when you become the servant of your spiritual master. Most beautiful. Why you are beautiful? Because you are constitutionally correctly situated. So what is this das das anudas? This actually refers to the service spirit or seva spirit, which is beyond designations. Which is beyond designations. Sometimes we are caught up in varnashram. I am sannyasi, I am grahastha, I am this and that. That is sadhan. That is not sadhya. That is sadhan only. Don't make sadhan as sadhya.
That's the means to achieve the goal. Sadhya refers to goal. Sadhan refers to the means. That's just a means to achieve the goal. So seva spread beyond designation refers to das, das, and das. In terms of guru-disciple relationship, if you are a sadhishya of your spiritual master, you are on the platform of gopi, bharator, padkamal, or das, das, and das. But sadhishya, because sadguru, he himself is a sadhishya of his guru. If he is not a sadhishya of his guru, how can he become a sadguru? So Bhakti Siddhant Maharaj, he spoke about different qualities of a sadhishya. One of them is a sadhishya will always inquire from his spiritual master. Always inquire. Eager to inquire. Second, free from all sort of sense gratifications, gross or subtle. Next, he has given up his independence onto the lotus feet of Guru. Next one, he only looks at the qualities of others and he only looks at his faults. These are some of the qualities mentioned by Bhakti Siddhant Maharaj as the qualities of a sadhishya. So when you become a sadhishya, you are on the platform of Gopi, Bharatu, Padkamala, Dasa, Dasa, Ardas. And what is the beauty of a disciple? The beauty that we are talking about in this purport, today's purport. The beauty of a disciple is anugatya. That is, in Guru Gobind Swami Maharaj's words, that is the sampada he has, the treasure he has. Anugatya is the decoration of a disciple. Like one time, one of the devotee asked a question to Guru Gobind Maharaj in Bhuvaneshwar. He said, Gurudev, how do I achieve Krishna Prem? What was the answer of Guru Gobind Maharaj? Hey, that is none of your business. Just do anugatya. It is up to Guru Maharaj to give you the mercy to have Krishna Prem, yes or no. Just do anugatya. That is none of your business. So anugatya is the ornament of a disciple. He is decorated with that anugatya. Then Srila Prabhupada is talking about simple life versus so-called advanced life or crazy civilization. So as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, that is kamasya nandriya priti lobho jivata yavat jivasya tattva jigyasa na artho yaschay karma bhi. That is the answer of the second part of the purport. That is what? Kamasya na indriya priti. Life desire should never ever be directed towards sense gratification. Life desire should be directed at understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth, inquiring about it, and for self-preservation. That's all. And this is simple life. That is what is the meaning of simple life. That means, if your life desires are directed at sense gratification, it becomes complicated life. And that is what advanced civilization is nowadays. All this smartphone, this phone, gadget, this, all what? Sense gratification. What is that? That is complicated life, not simple life. So if you have kamasya neendriya priti, your life is very simple. Because you know the goal and purpose of human form of life. So your advancement in Krishna consciousness is directly proportioned to the purification of the desires that you have. You are wearing tilak, you are wearing dhoti, you are wearing this, and you have so much dirty desires in your hand, in your heart, sorry. What is that? That is not advancement, it is just external. So that is why in this Bhagavatam verse it is mentioned, kamasya ne indriya priti. And that is simple life. So how does a conditioned soul, we come to that platform of purified, simple life, natural life. So for that, Krishna has given us Varnashram system. So as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam only, what is that verse?
Atha pumbir dhustresta guna karma vibhagasya svanushtrithasya dharmasya sansadhir haritoshanam.
So if you follow a Devi Varnashram system with keeping Krishna in the center of our lives, and we give up all the results onto the lotus feet of Krishna, we don't use the results of our activity for sense gratification, we gradually come to the platform of devotion to Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And that is the real beauty of a jiva. That's all. So one such beautiful devotee was Shri Shri Ramanujacharya. So today is the very, very auspicious day, the disappearance day of Ramanujacharya and the appearance of Shri Shri Radha Damodarji. So I have been told to speak about it also. So as we all know that there are four bona fide sampradayas. In Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj's words, this material world can be compared to a deep dark well. And we all conditioned souls are situated within that well. And if you want to come out of that well, you have four ropes. And these are Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's words. And these four ropes refer to the four sampradayas, the four bona fide sampradayas. So, and every bona fide sampradaya has a presiding deity and a sampradaya acharya. So when you talk about Sri Ramanujacharya, he is the sampradaya acharya of Sri Sampradaya. And the presiding deity of that sampradaya is Lakshmi Devi, Lakshmi Mata. So, what is this Ramanuj, this word means? It means Anuj of Rama. That is Lakshmanji. Lakshmanji is the original Guru Tattva. So he is Lakshmanji, incarnation of Lakshmanji. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj's words, he is Bhava Prakash of Nityananda. So today is his appearance day. So he appeared in the year 1017 AD in south of India near Madras, and the place name is, I'm forgetting it, with P, but it's around 25 kilometers from Madras, Chennai. His father's name was Keshavacharya, and his mother name was Kantimati. Both of them, the father and the mother, they were very austere. They performed severe austerities to have an empowered personality like Ramanujacharya, who is an incarnation of Lakshmanji, as their son. So Ramanujacharya, he finished all his Vedic studies by the age of 16. So in order to advance his transcendental knowledge, he went to a ashram of Sri Yadav Prakash. Now Yadav Prakash was one of the very well-known scholars that times in that area. But he was actually a Mayavadi. So Ramanujacharya went to his ashram and he started to study advanced Vedas, advanced knowledge from him. But within few weeks, Ramanujacharya could understand that this personality, he is actually a Mayavadi. So there are many instances which illustrate this point. So one time Yadav Prakash was explaining one aphorism from one of the Upanishad, and the aphorism was Satyam Jnanam Anantam Iti Brahma. This is one of the aphorism from one of the Upanishad. I don't remember the name. And what was the explanation of Yadav Prakash, his guru? He said, just try to understand it. He said, just like a cow cannot have full horns, broken horns, and half ons. Similarly, the Brahma, the Supreme Absolute Truth, cannot have multiple attributes simultaneously. That means he cannot be a person and imperson at the same time. So when Ramanujacharya heard that, he counter-argued, he opposed, and said, "Gurudev, may I say something?" He said, "Okay, speak." He said, "In this material world, there is a flower, and that flower has multiple attributes available simultaneously. Then how can you say that the Supreme Absolute Truth has no simultaneously available multiple attribute? It's just like a flower. Flower has color, beautiful texture, beautiful form. These are three attributes of a flower." Yadav Prakash kept quiet. He knew that his disciple was speaking the truth. He was right. But he didn't say anything. In another occasion, he was quoting one aphorism from Chandayoga Upanishad. And it was as such. It was, "Tasya yatha kapi asam pundarik eva akshni." And how did he explain this aphorism? Pundrik means lotus. Akshani means eyes. And kapiyasam means the back, the rear part of a monkey. And his explanation was that the eyes, the lotus eyes of the Lord, are red like the back part of a monkey. Imagine, this was his explanation. So when Ramanujacharya heard that, he started crying. He said, "Gurudev, how can you compare the lotus eyes of the Lord with the back part of a monkey?" So then Radha Prakash said, "Okay, if you know more than me, better than me, you explain me the meaning." And Ramanujacharya said, "This word kapi refers to monkey, but it can be broken down into ka and pi, pibati. Ka means water, and pibati. So who's drinking water?" He said, "Sun. Sun is drinking water, and then the stem of a lotus flower." So that means the explanation should be that the lotus eyes of the Lord are beautiful like the lotus flower or the sun. So when Yadav Prakash heard that, he became envious, the quality that we were talking about, and he decided to eliminate, to kill him. Because he was not a bona fide guru, Sadguru. He decided to kill him. So he made an arrangement, a plan with his other disciples, that okay, we will take Ramanujacharya to Prayag, and we will drown him into the river Ganges. The plan was made. So Ramanujacharya, being a simple devotee, he said okay, he accepted the proposal, and he decided to go along with them. So Ramanujacharya had a cousin brother, his name was Govinda. He was also part of the same school. So he came to know about this plan of his spiritual master. So he informed Ramanujacharya about it. He said, "Your Guru Maharaj is going to kill you. Don't go with them." And when he informed it, when Ramanujacharya was in the forest near Prayag, so then Ramanujacharya ran away from there. But he didn't know the way how to go to his Shiksha Guru. His Shiksha Guru was Kanchipuram. Kanchipurna. And he was serving the deity of Vardarajan in Kanchipuram. Vardarajan is another form of Lord Krishna. And Kanchipurna was a Shiksha Guru of Ramanujacharya. And he was a very wonderful pure Vaishnava. So he wanted to go to him. So then, when he was not able to find out the way, Lord Narayan Lakshmimata appeared in the form of a hunter, and they took him to Kanchipuram. So then Ramanujacharya started serving under the guidance of Kanchipurna. And he was doing a very humble menial service. What he would do? He would bring up the water, and he would bring up the water for the deities of Vardarajan. Simple seva, very simple service. And this was a time when Yamunacharya, he was the Acharya of Sri Sampradaya, and he was based in Srirangam. So many times, most of the Sri Vaishnava, they would visit this Kanchipuram from Srirangam. And they would always speak about Ramanujacharya to Yamunacharya. They would glorify his devotion, his simplicity. So Yamunacharya knew in his heart that it is Ramanujacharya who would carry the legacy of Sri Sampradaya in the future. So Sri Yamunacharya, he sent one of his disciples, Mahapurna, to bring Ramanujacharya to Srirangam. So by the time Mahapurna came and he brought Ramanujacharya to Srirangam, Yamunacharya had left his body. So when Ramanujacharya arrived in Srirangam, the body of Yamunacharya was lying, and his three fingers were like this. They were closed. Three fingers were closed. So when Ramanujacharya reached there, he looked at the body. He looked at the three fingers closed, and then he made a vow. He made three vows. He said, Gurudev, I vow that I will spread your teachings and the teachings of Sri Sampradaya by my own example. This is another symptom of a real Vaishnava, a real symptom. That they not only speak, they preach by their behavior also. You can do subtle preaching also. You don't just have to sit here and speak. He said, I will preach the science of devotional services by my own example. One finger of the Yamunacharya opened up. And then he said, his second vow was, that is, I would write down Sri Bhasya, the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Any sampradaya, it cannot be accepted as bona fide unless and until a commentary is written on Vedanta Sutra by the Vaishnavas of that sampradaya. So he said, I would write down Sri Bhasya. The second finger of Yamunacharya opened. And then he said, third one, that is, I vow that I would spread the glories of Parashara, Pana Alwar. When he said that, third finger opened up. And then all the disciples of Yamunacharya could understand that he was the chosen one. He was the one who would lead Sri Sampradaya now in the absence of Yamunacharya. And then Ramanujacharya started to preach very heavily against impersonalism. And from Sri Sampradaya, Mahaprabhu has taken two important things, two important points. The first one is Vaishnava Seva. And second one is Ananya Bhakti. And Sri Ramanujacharya was the personification of Ananya Bhakti and Vaishnava Seva also. So much so that there was an episode that another guru of Shiksha Guru of Ramanujacharya was Goshti Purna. There are so many Purnas in his biography. So Goshti Purna. So one time he went to him and Goshti Purna gave him one mantra. And he told him, hey Ramanujacharya, you chant this mantra, but keep it secret. Don't disclose it to anybody. Why? Because this is a mantra which can deliver you. And if you disclose it to others, you will go to hell. So what did Ramanujacharya do? He heard that mantra, he came out and he called all his disciples and everybody. And he said, hey, come. I will give you the mantra with the help of which all of you would be delivered. So his spiritual master said, hey, what did you do? I told you not to disclose it. He said, my dear spiritual master, even if I have to go to hell, but if I could save all of my disciples and all other jivas, I don't mind doing it. That was the mood of Ramanujacharya. Par dukh dukhi. Another important trait of a Vaishnava, that is par dukh dukhi. Then Ramanujacharya, he lived a long life, and in the year 1037 AD, before leaving his body, he invited all his disciples to him. And he gave them three instructions. What were those three instructions? The first one was, always be united. Always cooperate. Just like our Srila Prabhupada, he said, you can express your love towards me by your cooperation among each other. That is first instruction of Sri Ramanujacharya. Always stand united. Always cooperate. The second instruction given by Ramanujacharya to his disciple was Vaishnav Seva. Serve humbly, not in a challenging spirit. Always serve humbly. That comes back to the original point that we were discussing, beauty. You have to serve Vaishnavas, Guru, Sadhu with humility, not in a challenging spirit. And third instruction that he gave to them was, have complete faith in scriptures and chant the holy name of the Lord with complete conviction and faith. Giving these instructions in Srirangam, keeping the sleepers of his spiritual master on his chest, he gave up his body. Transcendental disappearance day of Sri Ramanujacharya ki jai. So today is also an appearance day of Sri Sri Radha Damodar ji, and we have a very special relationship with Sri Sri Radha Damodar ji because our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he was living there, and he wrote down the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in Sri Sri Radha Damodar ji. In a way, he was preparing himself for preaching in Sri Sri Radha Damodar ji. So it is described in the history of Sri Sri Radha Damodar ji temple. That Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswami Maharaj, they were instructed by Mahaprabhu to come to Sri Vrindavan Dham in the year 1516. And they were instructed by Mahaprabhu to uncover all the holy places of pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So when Rupa and Sanatan, they were engaged in these devotional services, Rupa Goswami Maharaj, he started feeling viraha, separation from Damodar. And Lord Krishna appeared in his dream, and he told Srila Rupa Goswami Maharaj that I would manifest myself through you. So you have to carve my deity form. Rupa Goswami Maharaj asked him a question. And my dear Lord, I don't even know. I have not even cut a simple stone. How do you expect me to carve a deity? So then Lord explained him about it. And the next day when he got up, he went to River Yamuna. And in River Yamuna, he found a very unique stone. And following the instruction of the Lord, he started carving it. And then he came up with this beautiful deity form of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. And it was Lord Sri Krishna Damodar only who told Srila Rupa Goswami Maharaj to hand over this deity form to Srila Jiva Goswami eventually, who was another beautiful devotee, beautiful disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami Maharaj. Anugatya. That was his decoration. So then Srila Jiva Goswami Maharaj started to serve the deity form of Damodar. But if you see this deity form of the Lord, you'll see that you have Srimati Radharani also, and you have Lalita Sakhi also. Correct? So what I have heard about it is that there was one fisherman in West Bengal, and one time he was fishing, and in his net, instead of fish, two beautiful deities were caught. So he handed over those deity forms to the king of West Bengal. Then once again Lord Krishna appeared in the dream of that king, and he told him, please give these two deity forms to Jiva Goswami in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Then those deities' forms were sent to Sri Jiva Goswami Maharaj. So Jiva Goswami Maharaj, then he was unable to figure out the identity of those two deities. Then once again Radharani appeared in the dream of Jiva Goswami Maharaj, and Radharani described him the identity of those two deity forms. One was Radharani herself, and then one was Lalita Sakhi. And then next day Jiva Goswami Maharaj installed the deity form of Radharani and Lalita Sakhi along with Shishi Radha Damodar. The transcendental appearance of Shishi Radha Damodar ki, Radha Damodar ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Any question? One question or comment? Hare Krishna.
Can you throw some more light on the simplicity aspect of the kind of life that we lead?
Simplicity aspect.
The kind of life that we lead, we are surrounded by technology.
Yeah.
And all the more because of COVID, like the challenges that we face at our work front and even remotely connected.
Yeah.
Technology has become an extremely integral part of our life. So how do we balance and some practical tips on
aspect. So first is, when you talk about simplicity, this Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj has given a big lecture on this actually. This refers to saralta actually. The prerequisite to be saral is bhoktaram yagatapsam sarvaloka maheshwaram sahardi sarvabhutanam jyatvamam shanti rachitam. This is the prerequisite to be simple. You understand and realize that Krishna is Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is the proprietor of this entire creation. Nothing belongs to me. And he is the supreme enjoyer. I am not the enjoyer. That is the first prerequisite to become simple. Now when you talk about usage of technology, and technology has become an integral part of today's society, so the answer is, use it. Practical tip is, use it in the service of Guru and Krishna. Do not go beyond that. Like Prabhupada would give an example of this microphone. These are Prabhupada's words, that we are using this microphone to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So we are spiritualizing it. So that is the answer to your question, that use the technology in the service of Guru and Krishna. Don't overdo it. That should be the thin line. Or, you know, if you go beyond that, then actually you are trapped or you are disturbed, and then you are degrading down in your consciousness. So that's all.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the nice lecture. When you started class, you said the material world is like a deep web. And we have four ropes to get out from the web.
Yeah.
You mentioned only one. Can you mention the three ropes?
Yeah. So three other ropes, ropes that you're talking about, they refer to three other bona fide sampradaya. That is Kumar Sampradaya, our wonderful Sampradaya, that is Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and Rudra Sampradaya. That is the answer to your question. Yes. Yes, yes. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Everybody is addressed to each one and to another mother. So how to become a...
How to become?
How to become a mom in this?
So the answer to your question is...
Yeah.
So the answer is association. Always associate with those who are non-envious one, and that is your spiritual master, your Shiksha Guru or advanced devotee. So association with the Sadhu Guru will help you to come to the platform of non-enviousness. And if you want to avoid envy from outsiders and all, make sure that you do not mix intimately with them. Just mix with them up to the extent which is needed. Do not go beyond that point.
and associate with the devotees. That is okay. So we.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
My question is, if someone wants to live like Goswami, like six Goswamis, they live very simply and at peace, and very simply just by begging Madhukari. And if someone wants to live in this way and follow in the footsteps of Mahaprabhu and Sikshastaka as it is. Then how can he sustain in this society of ISKCON?
So the answer to your question is, as I said in the class also, anugatya, follow what your Gurudev has told you to do. And you ask this question to your spiritual master, that my Gurudev, I would like to live like this and follow his instruction. So don't try to act independently and whimsically. Like you said, I want to live like a Goswami. You have to make sure, or that is the job of your spiritual master. He knows whether you can live like Goswamis or not. He knows your consciousness level because he is connected with Paramatma. So you just do anugatya of your spiritual master. If you are qualified to live like Goswami, you will live like them following the instruction of your Guru Tattva. That is the answer. So I think stop here now.
Grandra Shila Bhagavatam ki, Shila Prabhupada ki, Shila Gurudev ki, Gaur Bhaktvan ki.